Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It is a brand new season and a brand new competition for Edinburgh and Glasgow. We've got a hell of a lot to look forward to. So as usual, it is David, Matt and Alan back with you to break down everything, the good, the bad and the damn right weird stuff going on in Scottish rugby. Absolutely delighted to be back for season five. Matt, how are you feeling?
Good, man. It's just that, you know, the Scottish-Italian shield, as the URC is now calling the conference, that's just been getting me going, you know, through the whole summer, been getting me through things. So just can't wait to see who takes that home.
There's nothing quite like a brand new confected trophy just to get you excited. It's like when the old Alliance trophy came in, just added so much extra spice to Scotland versus France. Alan, have you had a good summer break?
Yeah, no, it's been pretty good. Me and Matt trekking up in the Highlands at the weekend. Nice little trip away from the gals, but yeah, plugging on.
I did think it was interesting. I knew you guys were on the West Coast, and then three lorries full of blue WKD got stolen from Ayrshire yesterday, and I wondered if there was any sort of any connection to your little trip.
I mean, post-run, I think we said we were looking forward to having some beers. In the end, we had a smoked sausage supper, a Scottish pie, and an iron brew each. So we didn't even have the energy to have a drink, unfortunately.
I was actually lying when I said I wanted pints. What we did was exactly what I wanted to do. So it was all good.
Smoked sausage supper is an absolutely exact choice as well. Washed down with an iron brew. Unbelievable.
I actually went battered, if I'm honest.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm all about the battered sausage.
Well, let us know, listeners, whether you prefer smoked sausage or battered sausage on Twitter. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. We've kicked off the season with some lovely memes and some content over there on Instagram as well. That's Thistle_Rugby_Pod. We're going to get the newsletter back going this year. Lots of really interesting stuff planned for that. So make sure you're subscribed. That's over on Substack. That's Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. And as ever, we can dip into the mailbag. We've got some predictions from you guys late for the season coming up in the mailbag, which we'll get into later. That is thethistlerugby@gmail.com. And as ever, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. But if you fancy it, get yourself onto iTunes and give us a review. That will help other Scottish people, Scottish rugby fans that are so lost that they're not following the Thistle. That will help them find us when they're looking for new Scottish rugby content there. So get yourself onto iTunes, leave us a review, and then we will enjoy the season together. So, lads, we'll kick things off with just a little bit of news. We'll talk about the Women's World Cup qualifying campaign, which is reaching ahead this weekend. Then we're going to talk about Glasgow, who have just dropped their team for the opening match against Ulster. Then have a look at Edinburgh, and then we'll talk about our predictions later on. So, looking at the Women's World Cup qualifiers, they started off with a fairly heavy loss to Italy, then bounced back to beat Spain last weekend, setting up a really big fixture against Ireland, which could decide their position at the Rugby World Cup next year. Matt, you've been keeping an eye on these things. How have the women looked in the two games so far?
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed with the Italy game. Need to bear in mind that Italy are far better at the women's level than at the men's. But if you looked at that Scotland team, it was almost full strength. I think you had, you know, your Lisa Thompson's, Helen Nelson's, and Jade Conkle was back. So I think there were quite positive noises going into the game, and they'll be disappointed, albeit that the opposition are pretty good. But then it was nice to see things click in the Spain game. Once again, Jade Conkle made a huge difference. Just her carrying is absolutely incredible at that level. And Scotland scored some nice tries out in the backs. So obviously it's all to play for this weekend. And obviously coming off the back of a win in what's a pretty open group is setting them up quite nicely.
Absolutely. And what can they expect from Ireland, Alan? Ireland, it's been quite interesting, the results so far amongst all these teams in the group.
Yeah, so obviously Ireland beat Italy last week, which I think makes you sort of automatically sort of worry for the Scotland team. But ultimately, in the first on opening weekend, actually Spain beat Ireland. So I think, you know, it's kind of all up for grabs. And I think in the last game I remember Scotland playing Ireland was in the sort of 2026 Nations, where it was quite a close loss away in Dublin. So I think a lot of the Scotland players will be like quietly sort of confident that they can do a job on the Irish. I think if they win, they're guaranteed to not be kicked out, is how I'm putting it. So basically, if they need to get into the top two, and by winning, they automatically will put themselves into the top two. If you win the group, that's them automatically into the World Cup. If they come second in the group, that's them into this repechage tournament with Samoa, Colombia, and probably Japan. And one of those four will then get into the World Cup. So no, it's good. You look, the fact they've managed to bounce back after quite a heavy defeat against Italy, hopefully sort of the mood in camp is good and they can kick on.
I did not know that Colombia was a rugby playing nation.
It's a good point. I mean, I can't even think of a sort of men's team that's come from there. Obviously Argentina, and then you see obviously Chile and sort of Paraguay and sometimes Brazil, but Colombia, yeah, from a sort of men's rugby standpoint, never really seemed to sort of crop up. But yeah, women just crushing it.
Yeah, they're in the third tier of men's rugby. So there you go. Their most recent fixture, I can't even find it on their... there's a lot of details. They've got a toucan as their on their badge, as their like sort of emblem. Where we've got the thistle, they've got a toucan. So it's actually a really nice badge. So good on. I'm now a Colombia Ultra, I think.
See, they actually literally just beat Kenya.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago to keep the World Cup dreams alive.
Colombia against Kenya is such a like elite picture.
Oh, wait. That's the women's team. Ignore me. I don't
know. Wow. There we go. I'm now going to take a keen interest in the Colombian rugby football nation. But obviously taking a keen interest in the Ireland-Scotland game at the weekend. Saturday, 5 p.m. It's live on BBC Alba, so everybody can watch that, and you should be doing that. Kick off your Saturday evening, right? And hopefully the girls can get themselves into that top two and get themselves along to the Rugby World Cup. So lots of interesting stuff to look forward to there. But before we get to that international on Saturday, Glasgow kick off their United Rugby Championship season against familiar foes Ulster. They have just announced their team. So this is on Friday night. And as I frantically pull it up in front of me, They've named their 15 that's going to take them on. Quite an interesting side. Not least, the first name on the list is somebody that I'm not even sure has been announced as a Glasgow player. Brad Thayer, hope I'm saying that right, will join Johnny Matthews and Simon Bergen in the front row. Second row's familiar partnership, Scott Cummings and Richie Gray. Back row, Ryan Wilson, and then two new lads, Rory Darge and Jack Dempsey, or relatively new in Darge's case. Back line, George Horn, great to see him back in the number nine jersey, partnering Dunkey Weir, returning to Scotstoun. Sam Johnson and new man Sione Tuipulotu in the centres, and then a absolutely Jets back three, Rufus McLean, Kyle Steyn and Cole Forbes. So that's coming up tomorrow night. Matt, I'll come to you first. Looking a bit more broadly at Glasgow, sort of end of the season and the recruitment they've done over the summer, how are you feeling about Glasgow coming into the new campaign?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because at maybe sort of three quarters through of last season and results were not going Glasgow's way and there weren't really many signings in the pipeline. I think at that point, maybe you had Duncan Weir and Batty and Bergen announced. But then in the period after that, results have obviously picked up. The young guys, the Thompsons, the McLeans, the Cole Forbes, Rory Darge coming from Edinburgh, they've all really stepped up. And then you've had this kind of flurry of signings announced, the likes of Jack Dempsey, Josh Mackay, Tuipulotu, and the Argentinian guys, Miotti Cancelier. You're kind of thinking, right, actually, this Glasgow squad is in a far better position than maybe we thought. And I think particularly you look at that team that's been announced, there's obviously a few guys missing. Like at first choice, you'd probably have Fraser Brown. You'd obviously have Fagerson and Price when they came back from being rested. And particularly that back line, you look at it and think, you know, they could cause some surprises and cause some upsets. And there's enough in the spine of that team to suggest that Glasgow should actually have a pretty decent season, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan, obviously kicking off their match against Ulster, they will not have brand new signing Dwayne Vermeulen, but Ulster, a typically solid side in the Pro 12-14 URC.
Just quickly first, remember, I'm sure Danny Wilson said back in May that there was like one more big signing to come. Do you think it's this Brad Thayer lad just under the radar? Didn't want to make too big a fuss about it, but he's the final piece of the puzzle. Because I can't think of another signing that's come in since Danny Wilson said that. I'm sure someone will come back and say that he did. But no, I think we were sort of talking a little bit sort of offline that Ulster is this team where I think when you look at Leinster and Munster, and it's probably because we've just had a lot more exposure to them through sort of Europe. But a lot of the time you look at their teams and you do think they're just strong. Whereas I think with Ulster, a lot of the time, so look at their squad, and if I'm honest, it's a lot of the team, especially in sort of the pack, that I don't have a kind of a really strong knowledge of. Or I kind of feel like Ulster are a team that are there for the taking. However, when you obviously look back, especially the last couple of years, Ulster have been very strong. I think the last time we went to Ravenhill, we got absolutely pumped, something like 40-15, or Glasgow did. And I think it's probably not something to be underestimated. I think it's going to be it's a really tough opening fixture Friday night at the Kingspan away to Ulster.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at Glasgow sort of opening their account in the URC, their first sort of six matches that take us into the 1872 Cups over Christmas. Ulster, then they're at home against the Sharks next Saturday, which is a very interesting proposition of the new South African teams coming in, followed up by the Lions. Then they get a nice little trip down to Zebra. Then it's Leinster, then Benetton. And the Dragons. So it's a real sort of, I hadn't quite appreciated until you see it written down on paper, the interest that having like the Sharks in there adds to a sort of fixtures list that you used to sort of in the Pro 14, every couple of weeks, you might get a sort of a lower ranked sort of Welsh or Italian side. But what impact do you think that having these four higher quality South African teams is going to have on the Scottish team's chances, Matt?
Well, am I right in thinking that under the new URC format, players won't will still be available. There won't be internationals away for quite a few of the games this year.
Well, they're not. There's no games. There's no URC fixtures on international weekends. Now, we all know that the Scotland lads will be in camp for a couple of weeks before the November internationals, but you would hope that the fact that there isn't any actual competing fixtures will mean that there's a little bit more interest. But
apart from the fact that South Africa are playing New Zealand this weekend, so loads of South Africans aren't here.
That's a very good point. Going forward,
I just made the point in terms of obviously Glasgow contribute a lot of players to the international setup, and that has been a disadvantage in the past. Obviously Leinster do, but in the same way, but they have a lot more strength and depth, so that might work in their favor. I mean, ultimately, the same as Edinburgh, they're in arguably the best group in terms of getting through. The fact that they only have to compete against the Italians for placings. So it'll be interesting to see what the South Africans are like, because I saw the Lions had named their team for their opening fixture, and it is just different to like a few years ago when you'd expect a few of the South African national team to be in that squad. Whereas obviously they've got South Africa and New Zealand this weekend, but there's still like not many household names in that Lions team. And you have seen obviously a lot of players leave South African shores in recent seasons. But yeah, if you can, maybe you can sell Warriors against the Sharks. Like, I think the Natal Sharks, however you want to sell it, is like a reasonably well known rugby brand.
Sell sea sharks.
Sell sea sharks. Okay.
I'm worried that the South African team is going to be sort of a very, very underwhelming. I think you saw the Bulls when they played Benetton just before the Lions tour, when obviously a lot of their players were with the wider South African squad, were pretty weak, and actually Benetton quite easily took them down. And I appreciate that Benetton were the Rainbow Cup champions, but I actually don't think that Benetton team is as strong as that suggests. And I imagine, especially in these sort of first sort of few weeks and months, that those South African teams might actually see quite a sort of significant number of losses, which isn't a bad thing for Edinburgh, seeing as they've got Sharks and Lions early doors, right?
Yeah, for Glasgow. So they've got them in the next couple of weeks. So we will get a very early look at the South African lads and how they are looking. But yeah, we'll come on to do our predictions towards the tail end. I think Glasgow have got a lot of names in there that are probably going to be challenging for sort of young breakthrough star and things like that. Really exciting stuff down that side of the M8. On the Edinburgh side of the coin, also lots of new faces, not least a new coach in Scotland scrum half, Mike Blair. They kick off their campaign on Saturday against the Scarlets at the newly named ERS. I think it's at the ERS, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Which will be very, very good. Hopefully see that full. Same sort of opening gambit then, Matt, as I asked you for the Glasgow squad. So taking into consideration everything that's happened over the summer with them, change of coach and new personnel coming in, how do you think Edinburgh are looking coming into the season?
Yeah, there is actually quite a lot of churn in that squad. The sort of significant departures are obviously Doohan and Rory Sutherland. I think that they will miss Doohan more than Sutherland, just because I don't think there's not a player like Doohan arguably in world rugby at the moment, and certainly not on Edinburgh's books. But on the flip side of that, Buffelli last week for Argentina scored, I think, all his team's points against New Zealand. Like, he is arguably a world-class operator and probably has a bit of a better rugby brain than Doohan, and that maybe feeds into the way that Mike Blair wants to play. I think similarly, missing Aruni Sau just seems like a really odd one to lose. But I think that some of the signings that have been made make more sense now that Mike Blair is in the hot seat. I am particularly interested in how they use Ben Bellicott and James Lang, because in recent seasons, you've seen that Edinburgh's forward pack has been their strength, and the backs, despite having some really good players in there, haven't quite clicked. And by the signs of things, James Lang was very impressive when he came on last week. And Bellicott's looking pretty sharp. His style is more suited to Blair than Cockerill. And even Bennett's looking like he's getting into the game a bit more. So it'd be interesting to see how those players are sort of fitted into the Blair style and whether they actually do try and play a more expansive game.
Agreed. Oh, sorry, Alan. I was just going to ask you what your views were.
No, I was going to say, I think Edinburgh got a lot going for them. I think the pitch looks great. And from sort of people we've spoken to, it sounds like it's actually got quite a good atmosphere. I think the strips look real good. I'm liking the away Edinburgh strip this year.
Are you loving the orange?
Do you know what? I didn't like it at the time, but I think when you look at the burnt orange now versus what Edinburgh used to have, it's such a step up. And I actually think the burnt orange strip this year is quite elite.
Elite.
Wow. Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
Well, I'll bear that in mind when it's definitely on sale at Christmas because they won't have sold any of them.
It's one of those shirts where I think it looks good on a professional player playing,
yes,
but clearly is something that no actual adult should ever purchase for themselves.
Stick that on your marketing materials.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, if you are walking around casually in an Edinburgh away shirt, I think that's quite weird. I don't know.
You do know who our target audience is for this podcast, Alan.
I don't know. Okay, maybe. Well, yeah, apologies. What are your thoughts on Hamish Watson's new lid? I think he looks great. I was watching an interview with him in front of the Kelpies, and I was like, I know the mullet was good, but he's looking good these days.
He looks pretty smart, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like it.
He does look sharp.
For those three reasons, I'm pretty pro Edinburgh doing well this year. But no, it's I'm quite excited for Edinburgh. I think the two issues are centres and whether James Lang can sort of sort that out, because I think ultimately I do love the Prince, but he's probably struggled to kind of creatively crack open that sort of back line. I think Bennett's always sort of struggled. And I think whilst obviously people like Taylor and Johnston kind of bring a lot, I think when it comes to those sort of big matches, they've all sort of struggled a little bit. So I think James Lang is super, super important. And then the one other one I was wondering about, keen to get you guys' thoughts, is sort of that front five. I just wonder whether, I feel like it was an area of strength, and increasingly just thinking, looking at those sort of that lot pairing of Gilchrist and Tulis, and whether they've just both maybe over the last sort of 12, 18 months just lost a little bit of form, obviously getting a little bit older. People like WP Nell sort of getting a little bit older. And it's just whether that front five is maybe going to have lost some of that bite that it had kind of a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I think you're more obviously with Sutherland gone, Showman, and but this Luan De Bruyne, the South African lad, be interesting to see how he beds in. I think it could be quite a big season for Jamie Hodgson, you know, at that younger age profile, yeah, coming through in the second row, played a lot of minutes last year. And I think, was he called into a sort of wider Scotland squad at one stage?
Yeah.
So I think how he performs could be really, really interesting to look at. But yeah,
I think the fact that De Bruyne is a tight head as well just means that, you know, depending on, you know, you've got a selection decision between him and Nell, but you can still put out a front row of Schoeman, McAnally or Cherry and De Bruyne and think, like, you know what, that's good enough to compete against pretty much everyone in the URC.
Yeah.
I think you're right about Gilchrist and Tulis. Although I think Tulis had quite a lot of injuries last year. And he's one of those players that maybe when you don't notice him until he's absent, and he makes quite a big difference. But I think you're right about Hodgson, and they seem to really like Marshall Sykes, who was getting quite a lot of game time, yep, at the end of last season. So I think there's probably enough there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good point about Marshall Sykes, who I think, to your point, was getting some good game time, was getting some good plaudits. and just makes me a little bit more confused as to why Glasgow potentially shipped him across the M8, given the fact that once Cummings is, you know, obviously I appreciate that URC games aren't on the same days as internationals, but ultimately Cummings is going to be rested throughout the season, and Richie Gray is inevitably going to be injured for probably more than half. Yeah. You're sort of left with sort of Kieran McDonald and...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Lewis Bean and then people like Rob Harley, and it's fine, but it feels like someone like Glasgow could have used someone like Marshall Sykes this season.
Yeah, well, we will see how that goes on. Edinburgh opened their account against the Scarlets before going away to Benetton, then welcoming the Stormers and the Bulls back-to-back weekends in the middle of October, and then a lovely little away game to Zebra before that autumn international break. What do you make of that sort of opening gambit? Scarlets and Benetton, not bad first two.
Yeah, I think it should definitely be aiming to win those games. And you know, we didn't really talk about the fact that they do have this new stadium, which from the friendly games that they've played there and the open day that they did, like, it looks really good actually, and it's maybe sounds obvious that, you know, make a difference when Edinburgh get their own stadium, but I think that it's just the right size to hopefully, you know, get a good crowd this weekend and make it at least feel like it's packed out and a proper atmosphere, and the pitch I think, you know, should suit the Blair style of play, so I think that should make a big difference, having a home game at the start against, I think they should be aiming to win that game, followed up by obviously like a slightly easier match potentially.
I think to have three out of their first five games at home, and two of those home games being that sort of slightly piqued interest, you know, with the Stormers and the Bulls coming to Edinburgh for the first time, you would hope that people are going to be buying tickets for those, getting down there, filling it out. So you would hope that should give Edinburgh a nice little platform into the season.
Yeah, and I also think with the Scarlets, not only are they, I think, on average, not a particularly strong team, they're also going to be actually missing quite a few Lions who obviously can't start for them and do sort of make quite a big difference, whether it's sort of Wyn Jones, Ken Owens, Liam Williams, etc. So, no, it feels like Edinburgh should be coming into this game with a lot of confidence. But I think if they can get that sort of 9-13 axis working, I feel like it should be going into the season with quite a lot of confidence for making quite a big push, at a minimum winning their obviously pool, but kind of going quite far in the URC.
Well, that's a lovely little segue opportunity. Thank you very much for that, Alan, into our predictions for the new season. So we've got 9 categories, which we should canter through. But let's start that off with Edinburgh predictions, both for the URC and then looking into Europe as well. So what do you reckon? What does far into the URC look like for you, Alan?
Well, I think, as I said, so they've got the 4 groups, and I think ultimately Edinburgh should win. I actually see Edinburgh coming ahead of Glasgow in the group. I think they should come top 2, but I think Edinburgh have got just enough to beat Glasgow in the group. And then, I don't know, it gets a little bit tough. But I think for Edinburgh, if the object that should be sort of the key objective, and then get into playoff rugby and sort of take it from there.
So similarly for Glasgow, you think get through into playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. Don't win the group, but given the fact that you've got obviously additional games against the Italians rather than the Irish, try and make sure you get in that sort of top eight for the playoffs.
Absolutely. Matt, you happy with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I suppose my only fear would be, you know, if I play devil's advocate slightly, it's that Edinburgh are in a bit of transition at the moment. And, you know, will probably be trying to play a different style. But I do think it's a style that suits quite a lot of their players. And as long as, like, you can kind of keep some of the good bits from Cockerell, then, yeah, I'm quite excited to see how they go.
I think the piece with Edinburgh as well is, and I don't know how helpful this is, but they're in the Challenge Cup. So have a lot less pressure from a sort of European standpoint as well. And I think whilst obviously, again, URC is not going to be hit as much by international rugby, I think looking at that Edinburgh team, they're probably going to have less players going with Scotland during Autumn International and Six Nations than Glasgow will.
Yes, but Edinburgh have drawn. They've got Saracens in their first game in the Challenge Cup. So that's good fun.
Yeah, London Irish. It's quite a bleak group, actually.
It is quite a bleak group. And Glasgow have obviously drawn Exeter and La Rochelle in the Champions Cup as well. So tricky, looking tricky on a European stage for the Scottish sides. Would you say?
Just bin it all. Just don't even compete. Do like, was it like Man United in the League Cup? Just put the kids out. Just focus on crushing the URC.
That being said, Glasgow at La Rochelle away for your birthday this December. That's one for the Guinness books. That's going to be great.
It's going to be the best day. And then I can't wait. It's going to be the most amount of fear the next day when I have to fly back.
The smash and grab job on the Saturday.
Yeah.
This is why we need to push buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/officials.
Consider it a birthday present to Alan. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
For our trip down to La Rochelle, which we
buy Alan a pint of Stella Artois in La Rochelle.
Exactly.
If we look at that as our sort of URC and European predictions. Talking about the newcomers, who do you think is going to be the best new signing for Edinburgh and Glasgow this year?
I was just
Alan,
looking
I'll
at,
start with you. Or sorry. Matt, you go ahead.
I just have one for Glasgow that I think a really interesting signing, who's maybe going under the radar a bit, would be Ali Miller. Because I think towards the end of his, you know, he didn't have really a shot at Edinburgh for a long time, went to the Sevens. It looked like that might be the direction of his career. But then when he got a shot at Edinburgh, when Mata was injured or away, he showed up really well. And we've been crying out at Glasgow for a long time for a big ball carrier. He's got good skills. Like, I think he's kind of the slight under the radar signing that could do really well.
Interesting one. Alan, what do you think?
No, I think the Ali Miller one is, I'm quite interested to see. I really, really hope he can sort of kick on, because he's obviously kind of stalled for a little bit the last couple of years. The sort of harem of Argentinians, I just don't know, man, what they're going to be like. Miotti for Glasgow, obviously at fly half, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they sort of manage him with Ross Thompson and Duncan Ware. I mean, clearly, obviously, plays for Jaguares and in and around the Argentina squad. It'd be interesting to see what he brings. And then Buffelli, who obviously scored that try against New Zealand at the weekend and is in the Edinburgh squad, which be interesting to see again how they sort of use him potentially in a back line with Blair Kinghorn and Darcy Graham as sort of a starting kind of back three. I just never quite know kind of what level, you know, you put Cancellari into that as well. I'm excited for them, but I really do think it could go both ways.
And what about, it won't be for a wee while now, but how excited are you about Josh Mackay arriving in Glasgow?
Again, you know, Josh Mackay is a great like YouTube highlights reel. But there's ultimately a reason why he's not managed to kick on from Canterbury to sort of Super Rugby, right? So it'll be interesting to see sort of how he manages that transition. I think I am sort of confident that I think he'll be able to, you know, be similar to someone like Cole Forbes, who's seems to sort of transition relatively easily. And to be fair, Cole Forbes had a lot less kind of professional rugby experience in New Zealand than Josh Mackay did. But yeah, when they get that back three on the pitch of Josh Mackay, Cole Forbes and Rufus McLean, that is absolute filth. Cannot wait to see it.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. Let's skip on then to, let's do some Scotland stuff, looking ahead to the autumn internationals where we've got Tonga, Australia, South Africa and Japan coming to Murrayfield. What do you reckon, Matt? 4 out of 4, 2 out of 4.
It's a tough one. I think they will beat Tonga. Japan's a tough one. Like it's not the same Japan team that did so well at the World Cup. So I think Scotland will have enough to overcome them and be pretty motivated. I could see them beating Australia, but Australia also are on obviously a decent run of form at the moment, and Dave Rennie seems to be sorting them out. I'm probably making them into a kind of team that, I don't know, Scotland maybe don't want to play against. I think South Africa is the most interesting one because on the face of it, maybe a couple of weeks ago, you would have said, God, that's probably not a game I necessarily want to go to or one that Scotland have a good chance of winning. But on the back of their recent results, and I've just got this image of Finn and Townsend like taking the game to South Africa and almost proving a point on the back of the Lions tour. So I think that'll be the most interesting one. And if we can beat South Africa by playing that kind of rugby, you know, I think that would be a pretty successful autumn in itself. Mm.
That is the narrative. That is the strongest narrative line, which is always what I'm inclined to follow. Alan, what do you reckon?
Yeah, sort of similar views. Like, ultimately, I think you could see Scotland going through the autumn internationals and only winning one game, and at the same time winning all four games, right? I agree. I think the Scotland South Africa match, just both in terms of narrative, but also in terms of style, feels like the most interesting match. I feel like they should have put that like that's got to be like a 7 p.m. I know they've put it at like 2 or 3, but that feels like that on a Saturday night, lights out at Murrayfield would have been unbelievable.
Would be banging. I think about the BBC montage department. Sorry, the Amazon montage department. They're just going to be doing so much Finn Russell winking at Alan Wynne-Jones. Like that opening phase of play from the Lions is going to be like seared into the back of everyone's retinas by the end of the autumn.
100%. So no, I think they've missed a trick there, because you know the autumn international matches or evening matches at Murrayfield when it's dark are always sort of the best atmosphere.
Yeah. Amazing.
And yeah, they seem to have kind of picked off. It's like a two. They're all sort of between sort of 1 and 3 o'clock, I think, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I think you're right in terms of, I think we always, for the last couple of years, we've always thought, I think Australia are always a little bit harshly critiqued just because they have to play New Zealand, or they have had to play New Zealand so much, especially during sort of the COVID era, both in terms of like club and country. But it does feel like Rennie is bringing a little bit more of a kind of harder edge to this Australia team. Mm. And yeah, I think it's both the South Africa and Australia games are both really great tests of this Scotland team, who ultimately have come off a pretty successful Six Nations. What was it? 3 wins. You know, probably going into this Six Nations with pretty high hopes of going further, especially with England and France at home. And, you know, maybe I actually don't think Wales are going to be that strong. So, look, I think I'm calling it now. So 4 wins for Scotland.
We'll come back to everyone. That is Alan's sure thing. We'll come back to you with a bookie's price on that one. But looking ahead to the Six Nations, just touching it there, Alan. England and France at home. Predictions there? let's get the crystal balls out. Matt, how are you feeling about the Six Nations?
I think that, I wish the Lions had gone a bit differently in terms of the end results, but need to remember like the value of having so many Scots on that tour. And hopefully they would have come away from it thinking, yeah, you know what, we're no different, or we're potentially better than some of our home nations rivals, and being able to take that confidence into the games. And I think, you know, barring any injuries, that first 15 that Scotland can put out, I think on its day can beat anyone, right? I think it's maybe like moving away from the underdogs tags and being comfortable being favourites is kind of the next step, because in a way we should be favourites to win against England potentially and France at home. The other Ireland and Wales, Ireland away from home is always going to be a sticking point. They know how to beat us. But you know, we've got to break that duck sometime.
Yeah. We absolutely do. Just dipping into the mailbag, Ewan M sent through his predictions about Scotland's autumn results. He says two wins, Japan and Tonga, one respectable loss to the Aussies and one caning from the box, followed up by three wins from Italy, Wales and France. Thanks very much for that, Ewan. Alan, how are you feeling about the Six Nations?
Yeah, good. Just check. There's no like Autumn Nations Cup this year. It's just Autumn Internationals, right? There's no like weird cup that's being played for.
It's called like the Guinness Autumn Series, but I don't know if there's actually
there's not pools or anything, I don't think.
No, I didn't think so. The Six Nations, I think it'd be interesting to see. I think it'd be interesting off the back of the Autumn Internationals. And I just think ultimately a lot of it, again, is going to come down to sort of Price and Finn. Yeah. And I think it comes down to Price and Finn and whether the pack can compete with a couple of those, essentially with France, England and Ireland. If that pack can get parity with those three teams and Price and Finn are on form, we can beat any of the teams in Six Nations, right?
Yeah.
It's just those are the two key questions, I think, and especially away to Ireland, to your point, Matt. I can't remember the last time we were really away at Ireland. Now I say that, I was going to say 2 years ago, it wasn't actually too bad when Hogg dropped it. Was that when Hogg dropped it over the line?
Yeah, was January 2020, pre-COVID.
That was probably the first time in a long time that I remember Scotland in Dublin kind of getting a bit of parity up front. And, you know, apart from that mistake and a couple of, you know, and ultimately had quite a lot of injuries, right? Nick Hayding was starting eight, and to be fair, had an absolute worldie.
The asterisk, so he had a worldie 20 minutes and then he was really tired.
Mate, Hayning should be like a super sub for Scotland. He has a world-class 20 minutes in him.
He does. He genuinely does.
And just get him on for the last 20 and just let him blow himself out. I think it'd be off the back of the Autumn Internationals. And again, you sort of go into that Six Nations with, you know, very easily Scotland coming out of it with one win and very easily kind of competing to win it. So, no, looking forward to it. Feeling good about Scottish rugby this year.
It feels like every season preview, we've probably said, you know, we need a pack that can get parity against the big teams in the Six Nations, but ultimately we'll be fine. Feel like if we listened back to all of these episodes over the last 5 years, we would be saying exactly the same thing.
I think in that pack, though, we just need to. One of the key things is injuries.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if we go into those early games and we've got Johnny Gray, Cummings, Skinner, Richie Watson, both Fergusons, probably Turner and Sutherland, all fit and firing, then again, to point, we've got a chance. We've got a chance of definitely, at a minimum, sort of having parity with a lot of those packs. But as we've always seen, once you sort of take a couple of those lads out and you start with, again, I'm using Nick Hayning, which is a terrible example, but someone like Nick Hayning, for example, or Ryan Wilson's coming in off the bench for his 50th cap, the depth just still is not there, and it's not going to be there, right? So I think we've got to be a bit lucky, especially over the next kind of like couple of months as we in the run up to the Six Nations, hoping that everyone stays relatively fit.
Yeah, that next wave of depth, particularly in that back row area, you're talking about your Darges, your Millers, your Muncasters, who are just at the sort of the beginning of their careers. Mm. So they're probably just a few years too early. But exciting. I mean, one predictable thing, if we've listened back over our 5 years, is weird, mad shit happening in Scottish rugby. I've got one. I think the SRU are going to launch a digital currency this year. I think they're just going to, they'll go completely off script and launch like Murrayfield coin, and you'll only be able to like trade it in for drinks and Scotland sash. I think that's where Dodson's at. He's going to buy into the digital currency world.
How about like an NFT of,
yes.
I'm trying to think of kind of iconic, I've kind of big Gav at Murrayfield or something, an NFT of that.
An NFT of Finn and Laidlaw in Why Not, yeah, yeah. Absolutely shit-faced. Fuck, we should create that NFT.
I know. We've got to get ahead of the game.
I would love it to be Dogecoin Murrayfield and just like Dogecoin just like on the stadium. Dodson's taking the cash, paid all in Dogecoin. He leaves it there. Let's just take the risk. Bank the even though it's there's a lot of volatility, it'd be a great run, great ride.
Ryan Wilson, I've noticed on Twitter, he's all over crypto and NFTs. Crypto. Yeah. So maybe he's kind of the man. He's got the in. He's got the knowledge.
So maybe it'll be Dogecoin Scotsdon. They'll test out the partnership at a club level. Imagine that, Alan. Your November test under the lights at Murrayfield, and everything just drops, and there's just like a sort of like Batman style beacon of the Dogecoin symbol just being like fired around Murrayfield.
Just having a look at Ryan Wilson's Twitter, he's like, anyone into the NFTs, check out these guys at Baby Boomer NFT.
I saw that this morning.
I think we should do it. We should create the Finn and Laidlaw NFT.
Ryan Wilson got myself a penguin fight NFT.
Is he all right?
It's bonkers.
Well, that is what that is the sort of mad shit that you can expect in Scottish rugby. I just think they're going to be something to do with digital currency. You buying your lunch there, Matt?
I might be, yeah.
What are you getting?
I've got thank you. Sorry, I've got I kind of panicked, didn't know what to get. So I've got a Deliveroo Subway footlong on the way.
Oh,
I know. How good! Oh,
and then you popped out for snacks.
Yeah, popped out for snacks as well. I'm out and about.
What did you get on the? What did you get at Subway? What's your order?
Footlong Italian BMT.
Oh, absolute classic.
Classic.
Well, we better wrap up and let you get back to your footlong, the last category before we finish up. Actually, no, I've got one good notable mad shit from Alistair McCaig, which I think is not that mad, but he thinks that following his star-studded Six Nations performance, Ali Price is bought out of his contract at Glasgow by Racing 92 to join Finn Russell in his last year as Racing contract, which you would love to see.
I think Teddy Riberain is actually, despite his appearances, like mid-30s. So maybe there's an opening there.
Maybe there is an opening there. Very, very exciting. Richard Gray also emailed. He agrees with you, Matt, on Marshall Sykes being a breakthrough star for the year, which you love to see. So thanks very much for all your emails. That's the thistlerugby@gmail.com. Any other business, lads?
All good. Can't wait. I'm actually quite excited for this weekend, actually.
Yeah,
feels a long time since the Rainbow Cup. Appreciate it. Yeah. A lot of stuff's happened.
The halcyon days of the Rainbow Cup.
Be good.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to it. A bit of Friday night rugby to kick us off. We will be back next week, talking about the first weekend of the URC. We'll put our heads together on a newsletter as well, so make sure you get onto Substack and subscribe for that. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends, get yourself onto iTunes and give us a review. It is an absolute delight to be back for season 5 for another year of complete nonsense and some Scottish rugby on the side. Until next week, see you guys soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.